we should just note, though, that when we talk about it yourselves and Gemara Bava Kama and Sadi Bava Beis, that actually is Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Actually, Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, the difference between Av and Toldo is obvious, because you're Chayev for Toldo, you're Potter for Toldo b'makom Av. According to Rabbi Lazar, who's Mechayev Toldo b'makom Av, so my Karole Av and my Karole Toldo. Then the Gemara has these this point about the Mishkan and Chashivos, and we discussed four or five different ways to interpret the three different Gersels. But the question that arises is that could be that that's the theory could be that that's only Aliba Drabi Eliezer. Now, depending on which formulation you accept, it could be only Aliba Drabi Eliezer, or it could be even Aliba Drabi Eliezer. We'll get to that. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer seems to accent the differentiation of Tolda and Av, because he's Mechayiv Tolda B'Mokamav. So it's conceivable that his view about the relationship between, you know, the Mishkan and Avos and so on is simply different than that of the Chachamim. Different in what way? It's hard to know. That depends on how you explain Rabbi Eliezer. It could be that the Mishkan plays a greater role. That's what differentiates Avos from Toldos, such that you're chayiv, you know, for both. Or on the contrary, the fact that Toldos are able to generate a chiyuv like Avos may show that that the discrepancy between them is negligible. Everything is a different shame in a way. And there is no yichus for Avos. It's hard to know which way to go for Rabbi Eliezer. But the point is that our whole discussion about the Girsos should be noted is within Rabbi Eliezer. And the question is Afilu or Dafka? And in which direction depends on how you understand Rabbi Eliezer. There's certainly candidates for the Chachamim too. No one said that the Chacham denies that formulation. But that's why when you have the formulations coming up in other contexts, it's also worthy of noting that some of the other contexts are clearly the Chachamim and not just Rabbi Eliezer. So we have to keep our eye open for that as well. Zohar Bara Marakeh, for example, as we discussed, and so on. So Tosis's formulation on Ayin Omen Aleph, in light of that, is particularly noteworthy. The Tosis that we saw earlier in the year, the same Tosis that quotes the Mechilta, but early on in the Tosis says, "In Kain Minyana Dikra Dvarim Hadvarim Ela Hadvarim Lameli." According to the view in the Gemara that there's no Chiluk Hataos, which is the discussion in the Gemara in Ayin Omen Aleph, so why would you count the Avos Malacha? So the Gemara, so Tosis says, "Kiven Delo Asa Lechalek." What's the point? So Tosa says, and again this is not necessarily for Rabbi Eliezer, that the reason that you need the minyan, even if there's no chiluk malachos, is still to teach you, you know, where to draw the line in the Mishkan. And the reason that's important is because the avos malachos derived from the Mishkan include or incorporate malachos that are not chashuvos, and if not for the number, you wouldn't know that. So that's a very interesting and very important formulation, right? That that some of the avos malachos, according to the Chachamim, are not chashuvos. The fact of the Mishkan obviously looms large if you say that. In a similar vein, Tosas on Ayin Hayom with Beis. Again, this is within the Chachamim. Tema the minyana deresha shamina lo. But like a meimer ton of a shiur, the elu ktani miu halek elak shuye, the mi elu deresha shamina mafukim drab lazar. Ikel meimer the nakat pereisha elu avos mishum dehai mishum dekoy rather. Other katani la'el chayavol kol malacha. They shomar the minyan of the reisha lo shamin lafukim Rabbi Yehuda. Dikel neimer de lo chashiv ela malachas chashuvos. Avos shobed and medakte kafagav de malachas saying lo katani lo mishum de einan mevuraros kol kach. So again, Tosis says clearly that it's possible that there are avos that are not chashuvos. Just to contrast it with some of the other Rishonim. But the Ritva on Ayin Amud Aleph, which I told you to look at in this connection for this reason, says something similar to Tosis, but he avoids that language. The Ritva here on Ayin Amud Aleph. Yachal asam kula ninachai v'la achas. Tehavaluk ochal shnei zese chela v'hela mechad. V'yafagav dekasav rachman. Should be rachmana. It changes the gersa. V'yafagav dekasav minyana. Or rachmana minyana. Ani omer v'asal ashmi'inan minyana malachas hachashuvos shahayu b'mishkan. Haru'uyos li'os avos shahayin lamites. Again, this is the same question, basically. The same context. But whereas Tosa says that the minion comes to teach you the malachos she'ilam chashuvos, the Ritva tells you, comes to teach you which malachos are chashuvos. A malachos are chashuvos, shahi b'mishka. In the kanveela chadavar masu l'chakamim liros ma'heim osam sheru'yos lios b'minyan zeh. So that's an obvious reference to toldos. That in itself is a very, very important formulation. Mesor nakasuv l'chakamim Masur l'chachamim, liros mahim osim sheruyos lios b'minyan. And what the Reim has for avos, the Ritva has for toldos. We'll get back to that, but that's a very important formulation. In any case, it emerges clearly that Bali Tosas are comfortable with the idea of avos that are not chashuvos, and what makes them avos is their presence in the Mishkan, whereas the Ritva doesn't like it at all. Okay. The Ramban also... the Ramban also does not like this formulation. The Ramban on Sadi Bavamid Beis, I told you to look at the first two on Sadi Bavamid Beis. This is the second where he talks about the issue of the Girsos. So he quotes the Girsa of B'mishkan and Chashuv, as if these are two different factors. And he says the following. Girsas Asfarim Hach. This is a sorry. Hakdava b'mishkan chashiva, hakdala b'mishkan lo chashiva. Hakdik siva kari av, hakdloik siva kari tov. Pirish. Hava b'mishkan v'shum sharavos, v'kamar k'siva v'shum otza. Hakdnasanami hava hasa. And hakdum b'farish b'kwa topas le'av. So the first gear that he has is hak, the hava b'mishkan chashiva. Hakdala b'mishkan lo chashiva. Right, which sounds like the Mishkan creates the Chashivas. Then he quotes, Mi'ika de Garsi, Hak to have a B'mishkan v'chashiva, Karolei Av, Hak to lo have a B'mishkan v'lo chashiva, Karolei Tova. Kedamar in the Rabbana. V'lo mechavre hak a girsa, Mishum de kol to have a B'mishkan v'adei chashivi. Ela sheyesh behen shein b'chlalo acheros. So again, that's an important line. That's not what Tosa says at all. He says, by definition, anything that was in the Mishkan was chashu. That makes it chashu. Again, this could be, you know, the Ramban consistent with his view on the different perspectives on Mem Tesam and Beis. There are some things that are in the Mishkan but aren't counted. Doesn't that show that you can be in the Mishkan and not Chashu? Ramban says no. All it shows is that there are some things in the Mishkan that are already subsumed under other things. But because it's subsumed doesn't mean it's not Chashu. So just this points up a clear contrast between different perspectives, and this is within the Chachamim, although I think this one actually is also Rabbi Eliezer, but we just have to question whether or not Rabbi Eliezer is in Dafka or even, in addition to everything else. Okay. The other issue that we were in the middle of discussing yesterday was the impact that the Mishkan has on the rules of the malachos. So we spoke about malach shein tzricha legufa, right? And we spoke about malach shein tzricha legufa. We spoke about the Mishnah daf tzadi beis amud aleph, motzi b'yad shmal b'tocheiko ala katev. Mishnah Tzadi Vav Min Aleph, Moshe Tamala Miyud. Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, according to the Bali Tosas, and so on. So I just want to elaborate a little bit more on Moshe Tamala Miyud. I say that's a topic in its own right. We have to investigate how rule-breaking Moshe is. And now with regard to the three issues I mentioned yesterday, that's Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat and Yemtza, Lamala Miyud, and Shnayim Shasu. With regard to the issue of Ala Katev, so that too seems to break two rules. One is the issue of Kilach Hayad, and the other one is the question of Lamala Miyud, Shekei Namasa B'nei Kahas. So here it's just important to note the formulations of Rashi and the two formulations in Rashi and the formulation of the Rambam, which I told you to look at. What are the two formulations of Rashi? Daniel? On Sadi Beis? Sammy? What?
It's from the Mishkan itself.
Okay. What's from the Mishkan? All of the things in the Mishnah or just Katev, correct. So that's Shekein Masa B'nei Kahas. The first formulation of Rashi is B'Katev Yisa'u. And then he adds B'Min U'Smol B'Chek Orech Ara. Right? So it sounds like there are two issues in the Mishnah. One is Orech Ara, Kederech. And then there's Masa B'nei Kahas B'Katev Yisa'u, which apparently is not Orech Ara. Correct? And nonetheless, Yechai. Then he quotes, go ahead. B'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda Matzasi, Shamar B'shem Rabbi. Okay, so then itself is interesting in the sense that, what's interesting about it, Sammy? And the more driving for the Karbanos, which is consistent with the Rav Haigon, that's the Rishalmi approach that the Eglei Tal develops in his Psicha. But in addition to that, for our purposes at the moment, what's interesting? That each of these has a source. That it's not Orech Ara Bialma. These two are derived. Is that because he views them as Shalok and Derek and therefore they need a source? Or you need a source anyway? It's hard to know. But there are two perspectives in Rashi. But getting back to the first point for a moment, it sounds like Rashi's saying that the Katev Yiso is not Orech Ara and nonetheless Yechayim. That's not such a double pashut either. If you look at the Rambam, Sammy, saw the Rambam? Perikid Beis Halacha Yud Beis? How does it sound? Did you see it? It didn't make such a strong impression? Ashrei? Jonathan? Nelson? Elikai? Yona? Ari?
Yeah, I think he says that the Chayim, because that's the way they did it in the Mishkan. He says even though it's over the Lama Yud, the Chayim, because that was the way it was done in the Mishkan.
Yeah, and then he adds to me, Kol HaMalachos mi Mishkan Lomdin also. The whole halacha reads as follows: Hamotzi baby mina baby mitzvah lebaby torkei kaoshi yatsa b'maos tsurim b'sedino chayev mipnei shehotzi kederach hamotziyin. V'chein hamotzi al ketepo chayev afal bishah masoi l'malam yasara tzvachim b'shus rabim shekein haya masa b'nei kas b'mishkan l'malam yasara shenemar b'katev yisau v'kol hamalachos b'mishkan lom dinotzau. So what impression do you get from the Rambam? Number one, it doesn't emphasize the issue of kederach and shalach kederach in katev, right? On the contrary, it seems like this is brought in the same halakha as Mipnei Shehotzi Kederach HaMotziim. Okay, that's one Mishnah too. But then he has V'chein HaMotzi Al Ksefo Chayev. The only problem with Motzi Al Ksefo is the fact that the Masai is Lamalam Yasar Tvachim. The fact that Shalok Kederach doesn't seem to be what we've derived from Bnei Kahas. Right, Aaron?
Yeah.
And that's number one. Number two, even the component of Lamalam Yasara. Well, this is already an impression. Do you get the impression that the Rambam is saying it's Xeris HaKasu, this is the way it is, this is from Mishkan?
No.
Rather?
That's even though it's a rule breaker, because it's from Mishkan.
Is it a rule breaker, or is it too, should we readjust our assessment of the rules based on that?
Right.
Yes. That's what it sounds like in the Rambam. It sounds like Shekein HaYamasu B'nei Kasu B'Mishkan L'mala, Me'asara, the Kol HaMelachos from Mishkan Lomdin Osam, not that it's some sort of a special, you know, exception to the rule, but that just as Orach Ara, you know, is defined objectively, right, so too the Mishkan can play a role in defining what is a routine case of Hotzah. And carrying something, you know, when you're walking at least, but you're carrying it in your on your shoulder, Lamala Miyud, you know, we learn from the Mishkan that that too is Hotzah. That's the impression. As I think Akiva mentioned to me the other day, correctly so. I think it was Akiva, right? Brother Rambam?
He usually doesn't.
The Rambam rarely quotes the role of the Mishkan. Rarely. He does quote it in Pirush Mishnayos on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph to explain why the Avos of the Mishnah, why the cases of the Mishnah are the Avos. And I think there, as opposed to Ne'en Ha'av. So he says, because those are the ones in the Mishkan. And here and there he makes reference to it. But nothing like the kind of impact that the Mishkan has according to some of the other Rishonim that we're seeing. One suspects that even when it's there as a Gili Milsa rather than as a Mechayev. At least that's what it sounds like to me. So I think that the Rambam clearly is constitutes a contrast to Rashi, who seems to be saying that basically, katef is shelo kederech, and nonetheless, the Xeris HaKosov, or the Mishkan, is koveya. Rambam's saying this is a frame of reference which teaches us what is and what isn't kederech. One might have thought this would be shelo kederech. I'm sorry. One might have thought this would be a violation of Makom Ptur, Kamash Milan, it isn't. We should just look at this case in a different way. This should be contrasted with the Rajba, who says explicitly that, you know, l'malam yud ala katef, this is Xeris HaKosuv, the special chidush, einu chabo l'chidusho issue that is derived from the Mishkan. In a way, the Pnei Yeshua raises this question. I don't remember whether I told you to look at Pnei Yeshua or not. On this, on the Rashi, the on Sadi Beis Amin Aleph, he quotes the Rashi. He says he makes the same deal. Amotzi bei miminu alak seifa chayv shekei maso de pirush rashi de lirin seifa yafa haitayma. Havlini miminu small v'cheik orach ara. Im kein mashu midvar v'te katef lav orach ara hu. Right, just doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. So the Pnei Yeshua refers to some of the comments of Tosas at the beginning of the base, where Tosas says that, particularly with regard to Nyani Hotzah, that being in the Mishkan isn't enough. You need a combination of being in the Mishkan and Svara. The truth is, if you look at Tosfos' comments, it might be only Melacha Grua, it might only mean it in a certain way, but the Pnei Yeshua picks up on this idea, and then he says the following important distinction. By near them, these daiti bazeh, the shiny haka da ashkan behedja da masa b'nei kas, koirach mana malacha. The suv parshas v'amidbar, naso es rosh b'nei kas, v'ven shloshim shana b'mala, kol abal etzvo, atzos malacha ba'ol moed, k'siv basrei zos avodas, B'nei kahas ba'ol moed kodesh kadashim. Im kein kivin she'ikra avodas kodesh kadashim shehu aaron haya v'kateif alma d'mikri malacha. Kai gav negufa kasaf dibreish mechilten abdalin l'shona tosis. There the emphasis is on the issue of mokom p'tur. Rabbi Kiva sabr d'hada aminan na'im b'sama cham rabbi lozer ha'motzim asai l'malam yud chayv she'ken masa b'nei kahas apagav l'malam yud mokom p'tur hu. Im kein havle l'miftir l'mikri malacha klal. Avle kimbotzi masa b'makom ktur de potter, afa became chayiv kivan de kari rachmana malacha kinefrishes. Okay, so basically his point is, and it's not the Mishkan, it's masa b'nei kahas. The masa b'nei kahas is specifically called a malacha. So even if the Mishkan alone cannot break rules, when the Torah itself calls something a malacha, that establishes it as a malacha. Clearly the Rambam did not interpret it that way. The Rambam understood Shekein Masa B'nei Kahas in the Mishnah as Shahare Lomdim Hamalachos Minam Yishkan. But the Pnei Yoshua says is paradigmatic of what we've been discussing. Right, to what extent, if we look at the Mishkan as a frame of reference, so, you know, if we can readjust the rules based on the, you know, reassess to determine whether it fits in within the rules, but we just have to rethink the rules, then that's one thing. But to acknowledge that this defies the rules, you know, you're not going to say that. But if the Mishkan is Mechayiv, so then the question perhaps doesn't get off the ground. As for the comments of Tosis about the combination of Svara and the Mishkan, again, you have to look exactly what Tosis meant and what they said. And it's also not clear that Rashi adopts that view, even if it were to be properly applied, which I suspect it's not, but or it doesn't have to be, is a better way to say it. Then basically, again, what emerges is different perspectives on the role of the Mishkan. Again, along the same lines, the whole discussion of the Gemara in Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph in Shabbos, whether Yalfinan Zorek Mimoshit, right, in terms of Lama Lamiyud, also appears in the first parak, Yalfinan Zorek Mimoshit or not. Moshit, if Moshit is just a rule breaker, and it's based on a, you know, on its presence in the Mishkan, so then you're not going to learn Zorek from Moshit. If Moshit forces us to reassess the rules, that's the only way the Mishkan ever works. Mishkan isn't koveya anything. So then the possibility that what we determine, what we extract from Moshit is something that is relevant also to Zorek, that needs to be looked at. It could be that the debate of being, you know, of learning Zorek and Mimoshit revolves A, around the role of the Mishkan, B, even if you assume the Mishkan has a more limited role, what is the true nature of that adjusted rule of Moshit such that it does or doesn't apply to Zorek. But again, the discussion is relevant. Michael Stein mentioned to me, I think after yesterday's shiur, another example of this. There are many, many more, the truth is, but this is a good one as well. Namely, Michael? Zrikas Kavers, the Sugya Daf Chesam and Aleph in Shabbos. If you throw this beehive, so what's Rashi's view there? Read it quickly. Yeah. So the Rashi came up with a new rule, and that is there's no such thing as Hotzah when it comes to transporting Rishuyos, Shlemos, because that's what we find in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they transferred objects, or transported objects. They didn't transport Rishuyos. So, again, clearly one could argue with Rashi, you know, on two bases. Number one, you might say that the role of the Mishkan doesn't warrant that kind of a conclusion. It's one thing to readjust the rules or to reassess them based on the Mishkan, to fine-tune them, make them more rigorous and precise based on the Mishkan. It's quite something else to pick up something that's, you know, that's an arbitrary consideration based on the Mishkan. That's number one. Number two, even if we were to agree that the Mishkan has the capacity to play this kind of role, there's always that secondary question that we always raise. And that is, you know, what things in the Mishkan are coincidental, extraneous, and what things are really, you know, defining, even as rule-breaking considerations. So again, the fact that they didn't happen to throw Rishuyos around is that... even if the Mishkan does play that kind of role, does it matter? Is it enough? Again, the Tosfos Rid, in the beginning of Hazorek, when he discusses whether or not, why you need a separate psukim for Hotzah, so basically he says Hotzah isn't really a malacha, and it's not really in the Mishkan. It appears in certain places in the Mishkan. He says, well, you have to know, what about, you know, which stages in the Mishkan are important to? And you have to know what's a coincidence in the Mishkan, and what's critical and indispensable to the process of the Mishkan. So again, he makes this distinction, which is an obvious distinction, but he makes it very clear. The other side of the coin is that, you know, maybe Rashi felt that it wasn't not only not incidental and extraneous, but maybe Rashi felt it really isn't, you know, a kind of Mechayev of the Mishkan either. Maybe Rashi was just trying to highlight the fact that it, you know, it's logical to distinguish between throwing an object and transporting or shifting, you know, a whole Rishus. And the fact that the Mishkan doesn't include the latter and only the former is even from an evaluation or reevaluation of the rules point of view enough of a reason to exclude Hatzos. It's not so much a limud for the Mishkan as again the Mishkan being the source of our analysis. But in any case, I think it's a worthwhile example of the larger issue. Then finally, the last thing we were doing was the discussion of Ne'ein Ha'av. So let's go back to that and complete that. We pointed out that the language of the Mishnah is that there's something called Ne'ein Ha'av, and there are a number of Rishonim who understand that it doesn't exist. The Balei Tosfos don't have it. The Rabbeinu Chananel